Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Chronicles 18. Now, there's a New Testament verse that I'm thought about in relation to what I'm going to talk about, and I will maybe ask you at the end, without mentioning now what that verse is, whether you might have thought about the same verse with what we're looking at. For you visitors, welcome. We're studying in 2 Kings, the life of Elijah and Elisha, and this account takes place, or at least part of it, what I'm looking at this morning, takes place right in the same time period of what we're looking at. As those of you that are here, you may remember that I do find the study of the Old Testament, and particularly of the kings, fascinating. Usually it's been on the kings of Judah. Now, our study in Elijah and Elisha takes place in the other kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel. and usually it's not unusual when I talk about some of these things that I will quote or read 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And while in 1 Corinthians 10, there are specific things it mentions about what the children of Israel did or failed to do, and the warning. So I did say 2 Chronicles, didn't I? I've written down here 2 Corinthians, but 2 Chronicles 18, the King James says this: Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. A more modern translation, what would it say? What was joining affinity with Ahab?
Marriage alliance.
Marriage alliance, okay. And we will see after a bit, it obviously wasn't Ahab and Jehoshaphat getting married, but we will see at the end what it meant. It actually meant Jehoshaphat's son married to Ahab's daughter. Now, Ryrie in the Study Bible points out that there were three bad alliances, or disastrous alliances, he calls them, that Ahab had with with Ahab or the northern kingdom. And we'll come back to that alliance of marriage that is referred to here in 18:1 later. But there was also a military alliance, which we're going to be studying in about 2 weeks, I think. A military alliance between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. I'm going to briefly touch on that here first, and then there was also a commercial alliance, and none of them turned out well. And again, think about the New Testament verse that might have the warning about these kinds of things. So here, I'm going to read the first seven verses, and then most of this chapter, which really is almost word for word what 2 Kings 22 is. There's just a few little details that I'll mention that are slightly different here, or maybe additions, I should say. And in verse 2 it says, after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. That's the one little phrase it says, he persuaded him. Now, in Ahab's mind, he probably had a good reason for doing what he did. Because if you remember in one of our last week's lessons, this Ben-Hadad that he should have killed but left live, he said, you know, I'll give the cities back that my father took from your father. And apparently at this time yet the cities hadn't been given back. So maybe in his mind it was a good thing to go to war. But anyway, here comes Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, down to Ahab. And in verse 3, and Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go up with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will go with thee in war. That he said first, and then he said this. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, he probably should have said that to start with. I mean, shouldn't we pray about this thing before we just decide to do what we're going to do? Well, okay, well, maybe. I don't know what Ahab's response actually was, but he says, therefore the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesieth good unto me, but always evil. Now, there might have been a reason why. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, give him credit, he said, let not the king say so. Don't talk like that. Well, but things just continue to go on the way they did. And in several weeks, we'll look at these things, and you may be familiar with it, but things went on, and they went with the things that were said. It seems like Jehoshaphat should have maybe reconsidered, is it wise for us to do this? But he went right ahead. And so we'll look then at how it all took place. But I'm going to jump past that and go to verse 28. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, and this is interesting, I will disguise myself and will go into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And so maybe Ahab was a little uneasy about what was getting ready to happen, so he disguised himself. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and that's as much as 2 Kings 22 says in what we're coming to in several weeks. But this one adds this detail. And the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. Jump down to 19:1, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. And this is actually a reproof then to him for what he had done. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace in Jerusalem. So in spite of a bad move, God was gracious and merciful and allowed him to return in peace. But as we'll see then in a couple of weeks, Ahab, it didn't turn out as well for him. He died in that as a result of that battle. And Jehu, the son of Hanai, seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem and went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And this is something that is encouraging to me, because, you know, sometimes I have made bad choices. And yet the Lord is gracious, and he continued to work with Jehoshaphat. Now, the second of the three is found then, and this is the commercial alliance, and that is found in chapter 20 and verses 35 through 37. And this actually happened after Ahab's death then in the reign of his son Ahaziah. And after this is 20:35, and after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodaba of Mareshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish. And so the first time he went home in peace, he escaped with his life. But this time the works of his hands, or the hands that whoever did it, were destroyed. So we looked at the military alliance and the commercial alliance. And now let's look thirdly at what was meant then by the joining affinity with Ahab. And we've already said an alliance by marriage. Just a couple verses out of chapter 21. Here it says, now verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. Verse 6, talking about Jehoram, he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so if Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab, then it means that he helped arrange this. And so there's results of it, and they're not good. And I'm going to skip down to the end of the chapter here about Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram. I think maybe I'll just pick up at 18. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease, and it came to pass in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sicknesses. So he died of sore diseases, and the people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old and 2 was he old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and he departed without being desired. And I've said this before, how would you feel if when you died, nobody cared? Good riddance. But in any case, all three of those alliances with the wicked really did not turn out well at all. Now, has anyone thought of the New Testament scripture that I might be thinking about? Okay, Second Corinthians 6. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from there. Verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Just two quotes that I remember from hearing, I don't know, probably when I grew up, and probably David L. would have been one that would have said these things, or at least one of them. But here about history. Okay, I started out by saying these things are written for our learning. Someone has said, the lesson we learn from history is that we don't learn from it. Now, that's said kind of pessimistically, but another one said like this, those that don't learn from history are bound to repeat it. Let's kneel. Thank you, our Father, for this opportunity, this privilege to be together this way. Thank you for each one who is assembled here. And while we're from various places, we serve you, the same God, the same faith. And so we just pray your blessing on each part of the service. Now, as we look into your word in the Sunday school time and the sharing time and the message, we look to you and want to receive from you. Give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.